So, to kick things off today, brought to you by Thomas Allgaier and Freinas, this edition highlights key LinkedIn posts on social selling in weeks 21 and 22. Freinas supports clients with identifying target attendees for events, crafting outreach that cuts through the noise, and driving qualified registrations through strategic LinkedIn engagement. You can find more info in the description.
Right. And we have a really, really packed agenda for you today. Our mission for you in this deep dive is to unpack the top strategic B2B marketing and social selling trends that we've been seeing across LinkedIn during calendar weeks 21 and 22.
Yeah. And we are going to cut right through the fluff. We want to reveal exactly how top B2B professionals are navigating these wild new algorithmic rules, how they're actually building pipeline and, you know, turning their employees into massive corporate influencers.
Exactly. Because to win in B2B social selling right now, you first have to understand the invisible referee that is governing the entire platform.
Oh, for sure. Because it's not just an update, right? Yeah. It's a total replacement of the rules.
Yeah, a complete replacement. James Costas actually brought this up, and it's wild. LinkedIn hasn't just updated its algorithm. They entirely replaced it with a massive 150 billion parameter AI model.
150 billion.
Right. And they dubbed it 360 Brew, which, just for context, puts it on a similar scale to something like GPT-4.
Wait, really? So the feed is basically being curated by an AI that understands actual context now?
Exactly. It's not just counting keywords anymore. It understands semantic meaning. And because of this, there are some really heavy new penalties. Like if you use overtly salesy language, or you put external links in your post, or even, and this is a big one, if you post more than once a day, you can see your reach suppressed by up to 60%.
60%. That is brutal. I mean, it completely destroys the old volume-based playbook.
It really does.
And Michael Eckbett actually observed something even scarier about this. He noticed that every single post you publish now gets dropped into this sort of micro-testing phase.
Well, the test pool.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 60 to 90-minute test pool, and the AI only shows your post to about 5% of your network.
Just 5%.
Right. So if you have 10,000 followers, only 500 people see it initially. And if the post fails with that specific 5% group, if they don't engage, it just dies.
It just completely stops distributing.
Yep. It never reaches the other 95%.
Yeah.
But Eckbeat did suggest a really interesting workaround for this if you absolutely have to guarantee distribution.
Oh, using the thought leadership ads.
Yeah. So he says you can use thought leadership ads directed to a matched audience to essentially completely bypass this organic test pool. You just pay to force it through.
Which is a smart tactical play. But, you know, for your day-to-day organic strategy, you have to understand how this AI categorizes you. Omair Rana and Pal Upadhyay both brought up this concept, and it is crucial. They call it semantic authority or cluster clarity.
Semantic authority. What does that actually mean in practice?
So the algorithm literally reads your first 240 characters, your headline, your title to categorize you. It doesn't judge you post by post anymore. You are judged as a pattern across your entire profile.
Oh, wow. So it's looking at the whole picture.
Exactly. Upadhyay points out that if your headline says, you know, sauce founder, but then you just post about your morning routines or your weekend hobbies, you just get buried. The AI gets confused. You have to stay in your specific topic lane for like 90 days straight just to train the system on who you are.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because it's like getting typecast in Hollywood.
All right. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, like if the AI decides you're an action star and you suddenly try to do a romantic comedy about your weekend hobbies, the algorithm just refuses to distribute the movie.
Right. You're in the wrong genre.
But doesn't this kill authenticity? I have to push back here a little bit. If I have to stick to one strict corporate topic to please a machine, doesn't that make me a robot?
Well, that is the big trap. But Alexander Weck and Bjorn Tantau argue that AI without strategy actually just makes everyone the same kind of average.
Right, because everyone is using AI to write now.
Exactly. Since the algorithm forces us into these strict lanes, the next challenge is standing out when every other B2B marketer is using AI to generate content on your exact same topic. Generic thought leadership, like those five tips for more reach posts, they are dead. A free AI can write that better and faster than you.
Which perfectly lines up with what Annabelle Pickens was saying. She advises everyone to just stop trying to sound like a McKinsey article.
Yes, because buyers see right through it now.
Exactly. She says the best content actually comes from real client conversations. Mm. It's the handled objections, you know, the things you said on a sales call that actually made the buyer pause and think.
It's the messy reality of the job.
Yeah, and Mandy McEwen actually had a cool tactic for this. She says AI can be useful, but you have to feed it your own transcripts.
Right, your own voice.
Exactly. Give it your old posts, your actual sales calls, so it learns how you actually talk, rather than defaulting to that generic internet voice.
That is so smart, because once you have that authentic voice, you still need to get people to stop scrolling. Shoaib Ahmed broke down a formula for top-performing hooks that is just fantastic.
I saw this. It's not just a clickbait line, right?
No, not at all. He says a real hook requires 5 specific ingredients: time, character, context, stakes, and a cliffhanger.
Time, character, context, stakes, cliffhanger.
Right. So instead of saying, here are my thoughts on sales, which is boring, you say, at 4 p.m. on a Friday, my biggest enterprise client called to cancel a $100,000 contract. Here is the 3-word phrase I use to save the deal.
Oh, that is so good. The stakes are immediately clear.
Right. You have to click see more.
So here's where it gets really interesting. If the secret sauce is our messy, real-world experience, does that mean the most valuable asset a B2B marketer has today is actually their failures? Like the things that go wrong behind the scenes?
Absolutely. Because an AI can fake success, but it cannot fake the highly specific nuance of a real-world failure. That lived experience is your moat.
Okay, so let's say you do all this. You nail your niche, your content is cutting through the AI sameness, and you start getting tons of attention.
The profile views start rolling in.
Right. But attention isn't pipeline. How do we translate those profile views into actual business without, you know, totally ruining the relationship?
That is the big question. And Terry Heath offered a really harsh reality check here. He says a profile view is just curiosity. A like is just relevance. Neither of those means they are ready to buy.
Yeah, treating a profile view as explicit permission to pitch is where so many sellers go wrong.
They immediately fly into the DMs with a calendar link.
It's insane. So what does this all mean? Treating a profile view like a buying signal is basically like proposing marriage to someone just because they glanced at your shoes in the grocery store. It's totally misreading the room.
That is the perfect analogy. And Lisa Bieleniuk really reinforces this. Real social selling means engaging organically and offering value way before you ever ask for a meeting.
Takes time.
It takes a lot of time. She says it takes 4 to 6 months to actually show efficacy from a social selling program. It is a long game.
Right. And Pierre Hurrell has a great golden rule for this. He says content and social selling are 2 sides of the same coin. He recommends dedicating just 30 minutes a day to manually starting conversations.
Manually, not automated.
Right. Manually. You turn actual intent signals, like someone downloading a resource, into a real dialogue.
And Zayed Syed Ali added some really strict tactical guardrails for this outbound outreach as we look toward 2026. Because of the new AI rules, he says you absolutely have to keep your social selling index, your SSI, above 70.
Above 70.
Or what happens?
Or the platform starts viewing your account as spammy. He also says you have to keep your pending connection requests under 700.
Wait, 700 pending requests? Yeah, if you just blast connection requests and they sit unaccepted, your reach plummets. And Ali also recommends using micro-commitment calls to action. So instead of pitching a 30-minute demo, just ask to send over a free resource.
Lower the friction.
Exactly. Keep the friction as low as possible.
Okay, so we've established how individual experts can master the algorithm, mm-hmm. right? And how they can convert that attention to sales.
Right.
But B2B marketing isn't a solo sport.
No, it's a team effort.
Right. So how do companies scale this across their entire workforce, especially when it feels like traditional employee advocacy programs are just totally failing right now?
Well, Ike Sinkehal had a very blunt assessment of this. He says traditional employee advocacy is just dead.
Dead.
Because employees have no skin in the game. If you ask them to share branded content, it only builds the company's brand, not theirs. So his solution is you have to start treating employees like creators. You literally compensate them or even pay external corporate creators to advocate for you.
Wow. Okay. But Victoria Ivanova over at Fat Joe and Bhuvana Shankar had some really interesting observations on that too. You can't just tell people, you know, post twice a week.
Right, that never works.
No, it falls flat.
Yeah.
Gamification. Victoria actually built a custom app where she used a weighted scoring system. So basic impressions were just the baseline. Comments got you silver, but reposts were gold.
Which makes sense algorithmically because reposts are the hardest to earn.
Exactly. And Bhuvana Shankar added that to sustain engagement past week 8 because everyone drops off after week 8. You need leaderboards, streaks, and time-boxed challenges.
Yes, the sprint model works so much better than telling someone to post forever. But there is a huge bottleneck in corporate programs, and Richard Vanderbloom nailed it. It's compliance fear.
Oh, legal and HR.
Exactly. Companies are terrified employees will say the wrong thing, so they demand manual reviews of every post, which just kills the momentum. But Vanderbloom says the solution is using tools like Nairify.
Nairify. How does that work?
It basically builds the social media policy directly into the drafting editor. It catches mismatches or restricted keywords before the post is even published, so you don't need manual HR reviews.
Oh, that is brilliant. It just removes the friction completely. And we know this works at scale. Anna Laura McGranahan shared a huge success story about this.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
She built a scalable framework for over 650 employees, and it generated over $350,000 in earned media value in less than 3 months.
That is massive ROI for just organizing your employees.
It really is. But I have to ask you, if we are gamifying this and we are literally paying employees to act like creators, at what point does B2B marketing just become an internal talent management agency? Like, are we managing marketers or are we managing influencers at this point?
That is the reality we live in now. You are managing influencers. The people inside your company are your media channel. And, you know, we've moved from renting attention via ads to owning this semantic identity on LinkedIn. But I want to leave you, the listener, with a final concept to really mull over.
Okay, well, lay it on us.
If your digital footprint is training this AI to lock you into a specific expertise cluster, how difficult is it going to be for you to pivot your career or rebrand your company 5 years from now? Are we building digital assets or are we building our own algorithmic cages?
That is a fascinating thought to end on. If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, MarTech, go-to-market, and AI in B2B marketing. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe.